scripture reading this afternoon you can find in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Read from chapter 8, beginning at verse 4 through chapter 9, verse 1. Give our attention to the word of the Lord. To Jeremiah, for the people, to us tonight. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. Will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turns to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade. And the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter the fortified cities and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen, the voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. God bless the reading, this word, our meditation on it this afternoon. Dear congregation, this afternoon we draw our attention to one of the most reflective, most haunting passages of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 8. The people did not understand what was happening. They were crying out. And Jeremiah records the people's cry as a lament. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. And it's not just that one harvest is past. It's the spring harvest has yielded nothing. And the summer has yielded nothing. And now it's both opportunities are gone. And we're not saved. Nothing has changed. We had opportunity, but we had no success. There's historical context here. Jeremiah had seen the reforms that Josiah had attempted and intended. And things had been good so briefly. And yet, that too had passed. And there's no significant impact on the people's lives. The people are still in desolation. They want peace and change, but all they find as they look is trouble and the sound of more trouble coming. And their cry in verse 19 is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king here? Why is there so much wrong still? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Has the last season of spiritual opportunity changed us? Have the 25 years of grace-free reformed church changed you? Made you healthy and holy? Some of you are, I'm afraid, still in bondage to sin. Sin's killing you slowly, and if you continue in it, there will be spiritual death. And some are struggling with remaining disease, and the attraction of sin is pulling you into backsliding, and you're not living vibrant, holy, joyful spiritual lives. And yes, some of us know God's grace changing us, but today we're spiritually tired, exhausted, maybe even gasping for breath. But Jeremiah sees the same symptoms in the people of his day, and as the man of God, he's devastated. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. And the impact of what he's seeing around him has come to him, not just superficially, but at the very deepest level. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night. So he asks in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there none? No one? It's a rhetorical question. Because everyone knows that there is. But the follow-up question drives the point home. And I want that to be our focus this afternoon. Our text. Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? And I want our theme to be very simply those first two words. Why then? Why are you not healed? Why are you not healthy? Why are you not full of zeal and energy? Is it because you don't know you're diseased? You know, there's times disease impacts us and we don't even realize it. We live on thinking we're healthy and there's nothing wrong, but inside there's something very wrong, and we may even be showing the symptoms of disease, but we don't believe it ourselves. And the spiritual disease should be obvious to the people of Jeremiah's day and to ourselves as we reflect, because the symptoms are so obvious. You just review with me from chapter 8 what Jeremiah is bringing before the people. In verse 4, he says, they are falling and not rising. Verse 5, they're believing lies in their own self-delusions. Verse 6, they're not able to speak right. Verse 7, they're not able to recognize and think about what God has done. Verse 9, they're rejecting the word of the Lord. Verse 12, they're not able to be ashamed. They don't even know how to blush anymore. You know, if someone walked into a hospital unable to move, or unable to know, or unable to speak, or think, or hear, or respond, and they were delusional with no self-awareness, it would be clear. There's something wrong here. Something has to happen. We need healing here. Even in our lives when there's things more minor, like not feeling well, coming down with the flu, we know how to respond. Right? Wash your hands, dose up on vitamin C, get lots of rest. But when it comes to spiritual sickness and spiritual disease, so often we think this is just normal. This is how I have to live. We accept the malady. The symptoms, I just have to live with them. They're not that dangerous, and it's probably because I'm just too busy anyways. And spiritually we lose the joy, and we lose the spiritual disciplines, and we lose the priority of God and His people, and we lose our energy. And suddenly we're unable to move or know or think or speak or respond as we should. Struck with spiritual disease. We believed, in a sense, the lie, not realizing that the consequence of sin is coming against us. And the disease of sin is still alive and active. So why aren't we more healthy? Is it because we don't want to believe that disease lives in us? Or maybe you've gone to other prophets and other healers. The people of Israel went to others as well. Verse 11, they've gone to the false prophets and false priests who deal falsely, and they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, the false physicians and the false doctors, they come and they will give what you want to hear. But it's superficial, and there's nothing helpful, and there's nothing lasting, and there's no long-term change. Can you imagine someone who had a disorder that would cause their veins and arteries to leak or burst, and they'd be covered visibly with bruises? And if this person would reject real treatment and real medicine, and instead just put on long-sleeve shirts all the time and turtlenecks and cover the rest up with makeup, you would say that's foolishness, because your symptoms are just going to continue, and the consequences of ignoring your symptoms are going to make the effects even more severe. And long term, this is going to kill you. It won't even take long. You should be feeling and dealing with your symptoms. There's consequences that Jeremiah is mentioning. The consequence of deceit. The consequence of being consumed. The consequence that all we drink is the water of the gall of bitterness. The consequence of serpents and vipers who can't be charmed and they're biting and we're being impacted more and more by sin. Because sin, like disease, is infectious. Sinners spread it among each other, to each other, maybe unintentionally, maybe intentionally. None of us like to deal with symptoms. We look for relief. But as Jeremiah records in verse 15, we looked for peace and no good came, and for a time of health, and there was trouble. We looked for health, but all we saw was more disease. You see, this isn't about others here. This is about our own hearts. Do we see the disease of sin that remains? That has maybe totally taken over. Without healing, you will die. It will be a forever death. But if you see the disease, if you recognize the symptoms within yourself, why don't you go for real healing? Do you not know that there is a remedy for all these symptoms that you have and the disease that's in your heart? Do you not know that there is healing available? Certainly, you have heard Jeremiah saying to the people, there is balm in Gilead. In that place, there is a medicine that works. Have you not heard of it? It's over Jordan, in the forest area. And if you've not heard of the balm, it's a soothing, comforting resin from the plants there. And there is healing there. And there's no small supply. There's enough for everyone who comes. This is well known. Why haven't you used it? Certainly you've heard it over many times from many different ones. There is remedy. Not just for past disease, not just for past hurts, but there's remedy for the very disease that you struggle with now. It will be effective now, and yet days ahead, it can save you, heal you. But if you travel there, this is not something you can go and get for yourself. You receive it from the one who gives it out. Because it's the great physician who hands out this healing, this recovery. He promised it for all who would come. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health to you and help you, or heal you, of your wounds, says the Lord. He will do this. He has guaranteed his own availability as the great physician. He has said, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim this is the acceptable time. You see, this is the time to come to the great physician. And it's not just for one disease that he takes care of. This is a physician who takes care of all diseases. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, the bruised. And he has the perfect response every time. It's the perfect remedy. He has the perfect track record. He has achieved full rights to this medicine because it's only through Him. And if you go and receive it from Him, there's no fee. It's free. There's nothing you can pay for this. Because the great physician has suffered the pain himself, and not just a little. Psalm 41, verse 8, an evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. You see, that's of Christ. And what he had to endure and pay, that he can go out and be the great physician and heal everyone. He suffered and rose again. Though once dead, he is alive. He brings, yes, full healing from death, from disease. And when he works, he gives life. When he applies recovery, it's for certain. He gives the help that everyone needs, not so that they can just be living, but so that they can thrive. They blossom, grow, mature, develop into thriving and holy children. And so this call is also for those who've gone to the great physician before. Why are you not thriving? Why are you so content with the remaining symptoms of sin, living half-heartedly? Return. There's balm here for you as well. There is disease. There's remedy for the disease. And if you recognize your disease and you know of the remedy, why are you not healed? Do you not realize the opportunity, the blessed opportunity you have? This is a free remedy for all who would have. There's no barriers to coming. No health questionnaire, no blood tests, no disqualifying conditions, no sign-up deadlines, no premiums, no deductibles. You have opportunity to be healed. Why then are you not? Is there no balm? Is there no physician? Is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? You see, ultimately, this isn't just the pastor's question. This isn't Jeremiah's question. This is God's question. Why is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? The great physician is calling you himself. Here's your opportunity. Here's your welcome. This is what you need. Here's what you've not even realized yet. There is recovery available. So often we have excuses why we don't want to go to the doctor. I'm not that bad, or my condition's not that bad. Yes, it is. You will die if you don't deal with this. Or maybe you have the excuse, well, I've had this a long time. Well, there's healing for long-term disease as well. Or maybe you think, or your excuse is, I know someone else with this and they're not doing anything. They will die. You've heard of the great physician's invitation. And this doctor doesn't do nothing. He takes every cry seriously. And yes, maybe your excuse is you've had bad experiences in other offices and you don't trust the doctors. But you see, here's the great physician. He's like no other. He knows, yes, the very essence of your struggles and your concerns, and he will deal with you. Or maybe your excuse is, well, I'm not spiritually diseased, I'm dead.
Well, he calls even to the dead, come out. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. There is healing. There is opportunity. Why then is there no recovery? Why are there not more people going to that great physician? Why is there not a mass exodus to him? Why is there no great lineup wait list at that doctor? Yes, it's because he can see everyone at once. Yes. But why is there only a trickle of people going? Why are not more fleeing for this opportunity, saying, I need to get to Gilead. I need to see this physician. I need this remedy. Why are not more healed? I can imagine Jeremiah sinking down in the shade somewhere, quietly singing to himself, sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead. Makes the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And Jeremiah comes with this plea then. Your pastor comes to you as an ambassador from Gilead, a spokesman of the great physician. Astonishment having taken hold of us. You know the remedy. Why is there still so much disease? You know your opportunity. Why then are you not healed? Is it because you're oblivious to the symptoms? Because you think you're healthy? Because you say, I haven't heard the doctor's orders yet. Well, let me tell you the great physician's instructions. He says to you, return. Jeremiah 3, return you backsliding children and I will heal you. He says to you tonight, stop going to the false teachers who give you peace, peace when there is no peace. But he says, Jeremiah 6:16, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And then you will find rest for your souls. So yes, return and stop going to false healers, but then call out. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Behold, I will bring health and healing and I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. And as you call out, here's the next instruction. He says to you, repent. Hosea 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn. And he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. He will revive us. He will raise us up again. Return. Stay away from the false teachers. Call out. Repent. And remember his promise. Hosea 14. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be like a dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily. His beauty shall be like an olive tree. And then remember the promise of his home. There the leaves of the trees bring healing for the nations. The great physician has told you. Has called you. Go. Go to the great physician. Don't boast in yourself. Don't boast in your ideas. Don't boast in other resources. Don't boast in other teachers. But let the wise man not glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. You see, this is no time to self-medicate. There's no time or place for alternative therapy. This is the time to be healed by Jesus Christ and in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. He is so willing, so free, so generous with His healing. So full of resource. He has earned and purchased and provided everything that you might need. Why then are you not healed? Is the real reason you're not recovered and are still spiritually unwell because you don't want to repent and return to God? Would you rather serve your idols? Would you rather bow to your images? Would you rather not admit how sick you are because you're okay with how sick you are? You see, in verse 19, we also have God's response to the people's questions. Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and foreign gods? Are you resisting and not even realizing it? Christ mourned over Jerusalem. I was willing, but you were not willing. The great physician comes saying, there is healing available. Why are you not healed? What are you going to say at a certain point? Jeremiah says, astonishment has taken hold of me. I'm writing in disbelief. The harvest is past, the summer is gone, and we are not saved. But for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning. Is there no balm left in Gilead? Has the physician gone? Now, as your pastor, I long for the same thing, for myself, for our families, for us as a church, that we would be spiritually healthy, healthy individually, healthy corporately, all spiritual disease being healed and removed, full of life and zeal. But we're not there. As some of you hurt, the rest of us hurt. As some of you neglect what God has offered, the rest of us mourn. As some of you would rather suffer than go to the great physician, astonishment takes hold of us. Do we have the same question? Why? Why? Your disease is growing. Your time is shrinking. There's still opportunity. There's still remedy. There's still the great physician. Why then? Why is there not more healing?